Welcome to Conversations with Coach Ian Scott, the show that provides a glimpse into the lives and careers of professionals around the world. Clint Cora's life so far has been fascinating, to say the very least. During his early years growing up in Toronto, Canada, he had to endure racism and emotional abuse. But these were nothing compared to the personal tragedy of his mother's suicide. Despite these enormous hardships, Clint weathered the storms of adversity and went on to become a karate world champion while having a successful corporate career. Based on his unique journey, Clint Cora is certainly somebody who knows about motivation and how to use it to become successful. He has been at rock bottom, and not only has he survived, but he rose to the top. And now his mission is to help others overcome challenges and achieve success. So Clint joins me now from Toronto. So Clint, welcome to Conversations.
Thanks, Ian. Great to be here.
Now, your bio, Clint, it states that you are a karate world champion. Now, could you tell us more about that, if you will, please?
Sure. I've trained in martial arts for over 36 years, so it's been a long time. I was a former member of the Canadian National Karate Team here that competed internationally. And I won my first international world championship back in 1999. And then over the years, I've won a couple of more titles. And in fact, two summers ago, I was competing in the world championships not too far from where you are, Ian. In fact, it was in Ireland.
Right.
So it was, and at that time, that was pretty well my last competition for now. So I'm sort of semi-retired for now because it's been a long road, and I pretty well accomplished what I want to accomplish in the martial arts competition field. So now it's time to focus on other things.
Right. So were you always athletic even as a kid then, Clint?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, I was a total geek or a nerd. In fact, we have our version of North American football over here. I know over there in your part of the world, football is what we call soccer. But over here, we have a sport. I'm not sure if you've seen it. It's called, I think some of you folks out there, called gridiron. Have you seen that?
Right.
It's more like a tackle type of football. But right. Anyways, we used to play that at school. And when I was a little kid in, I guess, primary school, we played a little bit of football during gym. And I was so bad at sports. When I was past the football, I got so confused that I started to run in the wrong direction toward my own team's end zone. Not bad. So it was not that great. I was not an athlete. But once I started picking up martial arts in my early teens, things started to pick up pretty quick. And as I got better at martial arts, I got better at other sports. And lo and behold, I stopped getting picked on at school. How's that?
Right, excellent. So are you a martial arts teacher then, professionally?
Actually, I'm not. What I chose to do in martial arts was to focus on competition. I started competing pretty well when I started my corporate career right after my MBA. And at that time, I was in the pharmaceutical industry. And in fact, the tagline that I used to use at parties was, I sold drugs. And that got a lot of people interested for some stupid reason. But anyways, martial arts was my main extracurricular activity in terms of competition. I just didn't have time or desire to teach. So competition was my main focus, although having said that, I did teach a couple of self-defense seminars. So that's where my main focus was.
Right. Now, you have written a book called The Life Champion in You. So how did you transition from being a martial arts champion, karate world champion, to becoming an author?
Okay. Well, my background is not typical of your average world champion in any sport. As you might know, Ian, back in 1984, I did suffer a personal tragedy. Mm. Fortunately, at that time, I did lose my mother to suicide. She did take 3 vials of sleeping pills. But despite that tragedy, I was still determined to become successful in life. And one of the end results was I became a karate world champion. And this surprised a lot of people because for some reason, somebody with my tragic background was just not expected to be successful. You know, a lot of people out there expected me to be on this dark road. And as you can appreciate, Ian, we're still in tough times with the recession. Mm. A lot of people are down and out even before this recession. And I'm not talking about just financially, but also emotionally. Mm. And I realized that a lot of people can benefit from the universal lessons that I learned from my own journey. And let's face it, these days, we can all use a bit of motivation. So I'm just doing my part. It was my time to do so. And if I can mention, Ian, you know, the activities that you do with your podcasts and your seminars and your coaching, you're also doing a great job in contributing to the motivation that we all need. Let's face it, we all need motivation.
Absolutely. Thank you for that compliment as well. Now, interestingly then, The Life Champion in You, how did you come up with the title of that book?
Good question. Like, to me, a life champion is somebody who is successful in all aspects of life, not just career, but also health, relationships. And I believe that we all have the potential in ourselves to become life champions. And that's why I called the book The Life Champion in You, because we all have it within ourselves. It's just a matter of bringing out that champion to the outside.
Now, you mentioned earlier there some universal lessons from your personal journey. So what are some of those universal lessons, Clint, that you can share with us?
Well, one of the most important that I talk about, not just the book, but also my live presentations, is that we have to make totally committed decisions rather than just simply making wishes. For example, let's say we want to be richer, or we want to be better looking, or we want to get rid of some nasty bad habit. Now, if we just wished for it, more than likely, we won't do anything about it. So life won't really change for us. But if we really want to be successful, we have to make a committed decision. And when we make committed decisions, especially on paper, it's almost like making a written contract with ourselves. So instead of just watching the TV all the time, we will put in the effort and we will put in the time to make our goals happen. That's the big difference there.
Yes, well put. Now, is this what you've just said? Is this connected in some way through your mother's suicide? Is there a connection there?
Oh, absolutely, because when I lost my mother, I made a totally committed decision right there and then not to live life as a down-and-out victim. I didn't just wish for it, and this is extremely important. Now, to a lot of people out there, commitment versus wishes, it's the same thing to them. They're just words, but there is a huge difference because commitment does things to our head that it just sets us up to do the right things that we have to do to become successful.
What's another important message, Clint, from your book?
I also talk a lot about comfort zones, because as you know, Ian, comfort zones are when we're just too set in our usual ways.
Yes.
Picture that really comfortable sofa in our living room. You know, most people just end up sitting on there not doing anything. Now, even though it's comfortable, but unfortunately, you're not learning any new skills to become successful. And one of the examples that I like to say is you can't learn new skills by being comfortable. If you want to grow on a personal or professional level, you have to expand your comfort zone each week if possible in all the areas that you want to be successful in. In other words, you have to get a little bit uncomfortable to learn new skills that will help you grow.
Clint, what is an example of a comfort zone that you've had to expand in your own life?
Well, I can share with you something that's rather unique because people don't hear about it all that often. And I actually demonstrate this during my live motivational talks. I use a long stick, which is a karate weapon called a bo staff. And whenever I first used or learned any new martial arts weapon, it was just brutal. I mean, I was so clumsy. I mean, I would be hitting myself in the head, smashing my face, knocking my elbows, my knees. It was crazy. Shins would really hurt too. And because in the case of a bo staff, as you can imagine, it's quite long. And originally I started training with it indoors, but after poking too many holes in the walls and ceilings, I just knew I had to go outside to train. So I went outside with this thing and get this, I was still clumsy with this, okay? So when I'd be outside in my backyard or sometimes my front yard training with this bo staff, and as you can imagine, sometimes my neighbors would be watching me. And as I hit myself, they would just be shaking their heads. And I can just imagine my neighbors saying to each other, they'd be saying, "Come here, Mary, come here, quick, look outside the window. there's that crazy Chinese guy beating himself up with a stick again. Is he ever going to learn? So it must have been hilarious for them. The thing is, I didn't stop. I made a committed decision to slowly expand my comfort zone during each training session. So I started out with really easy moves, but as I got better, I gradually added more technical, more difficult techniques as time went on. And basically, that's how I got good at it. I expanded my comfort zone. So that's just an example that I use.
And just as an aside, to give people some idea of what one of those looks like, you can actually see a video on Clint's website where he's on stage and he uses that in one of the shots.
Yes, and I don't hit myself by that time.
No, you've mastered that now, haven't you?
Yes.
How has that example that you've just given us, Clint, how has it helped you in other areas of life?
Well, I noticed that the whole concept of expanding comfort zones is pretty well applicable for anything else that you want to do in life, whether it's a karate bo staff or anything like health related or professional related or even in your personal life. It's all about expanding your comfort zone in one area, and then you can literally attack all other areas with the same confidence and the same vigor, because once you become successful in something, you do get some confidence. If you apply that confidence to other areas, I like to say that expanding comfort zones becomes contagious. In fact, it's a good type of infection to have. Another example, if I could share with you, Ian, during the winter here in Canada, I'm also a snow skier. And one year I was up at a place in Quebec called Mont Tremblant. And I noticed this one guy skiing down a relatively steep hill, and he was skiing very well. In fact, I'm a certified ski instructor during the winter, but I can say that this other guy was at a higher level than I was, which is not unusual because there are lots of people out there who could ski much better. But get this, here's the difference. This guy only had one leg.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And he skis better than I do. But this is a good example because for him to get at that level with just one leg, he must have expanded his comfort zone a lot. But he didn't do that in 1 week. He obviously must have expanded his comfort zone a little bit at a time on a weekly basis, very slowly, but on a gradual, consistent basis. And that's how we achieve success.
Now, thinking about that, what you've just mentioned there, then, why is it, Clint, that many people actually fail to achieve success?
Well, they just don't have that commitment. They take wishes instead, or they make wishes without that commitment. And when you don't have commitment, no action takes place. And that's the problem with just making wishes. The other thing, as you can appreciate, is that some people, they take on too much at one time. For example, people who want to lose weight. I mean, as you and I know, you just can't lose, let's say, 50 pounds in 1 week, at least safely. So when I say expanding comfort zones, I usually like to take this in percentages. Expand your comfort zone by, let's say, 10% a week, rather than try to do everything at once.
Yes.
Otherwise, you just fail.
So chunking it down, really, make it into manageable bite sizes.
Bite sizes, and also the other thing that people would have to realize is that when they do fall short, quite often it's because they're not getting inspired or motivated on a regular basis. The key example is people who might read a book or even go to a seminar, but if they don't do anything, what happens in 2 weeks? They completely forget. And that's why the work that you and I do is so important, because we help remind people. We give them regular exposure to motivation, which we all need. If we don't get it, then we just forget. We have to keep these things top of mind.
Now, let's talk about the recession, because this has been going on for quite a while now, hasn't it, the global recession. So how can people get through a recession?
Well, to me, a recession is a setback, just like anything else. When that one-legged skier first got his amputation, that was a setback. When I lost my mother, it was a setback. And what I learned is that no matter how happy or horrible an event is, there's always a valuable lesson hidden in there somewhere. Albert Einstein once said, "In the middle of difficulty lies opportunity." Well, the recession, this is the time to learn some new skills. This is the time to do some soul searching. It's a time to discover not just what we can do, but it's what we want to do. And there's a difference. And I think a lot of people haven't taken the time to do that. And as you know, people who are, let's say, working full time, quite often they lose touch with the important people in their lives, like their loved ones, their families, their best friends. Well, maybe now's a time to really reconnect with people. Mm. So it's an opportunity to do some things that we haven't done really before.
Yes. And to look at the situations and circumstances in a new light. So what about financially then, Clint, if people have lost their jobs?
Well, that is an issue. It's a real issue. In terms of finances, you'd be surprised in how well you can still live if you cut those extravagant expenditures out.
Mm.
So maybe it's a time to cut back if we have to. If you have to take some small temporary jobs in the meantime, then by all means do so. But that's not all. Because quite often what happens to people when they're out of work is that they end up spending their entire days just sulking, just being depressed. Well, take the time to grow instead. Take the time to network. This is the time to pick up some new skills which can serve you better. I mean, let's face it, Ian, this is not the first recession that we've ever had.
Of course not. No, it's, right? Not, it's not a new experience, is it?
No. And these things go in cycles. There will be other recessions in the future, and next time we just have to be prepared better. You know, there's no such thing as security. So during these times, let's build up our skills.
Now let's take a specific situation now or emotional experience that some people might have. What can we do about procrastination?
Procrastinating. I mean, we've all procrastinated. You know, I have, and I don't know if you have, Ian. But to me, procrastination is basically something that we've all done. And I think what happens here is it makes us realize that sometimes we can't achieve some of our goals alone or in isolation. Sometimes we need help from other people to help us achieve those goals. And because when we have a group of other people who are like-minded, who are motivated, who will push us to achieve our goals, that would really stop a lot of procrastination.
Do you think that is something that can stem from a person's past as well, if they have problems with putting things off? Because that's what procrastination is all about, isn't it, Clint? It's actually thinking that we can put things off because we feel it's the easiest thing to do.
Right, and we have nobody to push us, you know. And quite often, I always try to emphasize that we need to get in line or get in touch with other people who are like-minded to help us, to push us, to inspire us, to keep us accountable so that we don't procrastinate. But what happens to 97% of us is that within our current social circles, whether it's our families or our friends, we don't have those highly motivated individuals to help us. So one of the difficulties, but unfortunately we do have to do if we want to be successful, is that we have to go out and reach out to those motivated people who will help us. And those people more than likely are not within our current social circles right now. Mm. So it takes an effort on our behalf, but we do have to go out and reach. But once we do get some like-minded people out there, it's just like teamwork. And this really makes a difference in terms of procrastination.
Yes. So you've mentioned this a little bit. Do you do public speaking then, Clint? Because we've been speaking about motivation and goal setting and these different things. So do you do public speaking as well?
Yes, I speak to corporations, companies. I speak to associations, also sometimes to colleges and universities, and also the odd youth group I'll speak at as well. And when I speak, it's basically the live version of my book, The Life Champion in You.
Right.
However, I also do have a secondary topic. I've been also speaking on the issue of diversity. Because as you know, globally, we've become a lot more diverse. And I find a lot of groups, especially companies and professional associations and even colleges, are interested in my diversity talk. You know, we've become a lot more diverse, but a lot of people don't know how to manage it. So that's what I also specialize in as well. So it's basically motivational, personal growth, and diversity.
Just catching on to the diversity subject there, Clint. How do you approach that topic? What kind of things do you speak about to help people maybe appreciate and value diversity?
Well, right now, the trend is a lot of companies are pushing diversity as part of their company guidelines. And that's one reason, is because they want to be seen as politically correct. But unfortunately, when you mandate such things, the people in the company don't always accept it. And this is what we're finding right now. Although people can say that they want to be politically correct, but if you go into a company cafeteria at lunchtime, what do you see? You see people still segregated. They're right. sitting in their own little groups. So the way I approach diversity is I really promote the benefits of diversity, because I don't think people can truly embrace diversity until they have realized what the benefits are. Mm-hmm. And when I promote the benefits, I show people that diversity can be a good thing. It's not just some negative to be tolerated or mandated, but it can be a very huge positive.
Now, we've spoken about your book, The Life Champion in You. Where is your book available, Clint?
I think in your part of the world, the easiest place to get that would be in Amazon UK. But I know that most of the major book retailers, the online ones, will carry it. And in fact, theoretically, any retail bookstore can order it in. They just have to quote the ISBN number, which is available at my website, clintcora.com.
Yes.
But online is usually the best way. And of course, my own website, the book is also available there as well as the audio version.
Great. To learn more about Clint Cora, visit his website, clintcora.com. So, Clint, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule today to be able to speak with us about your life and career, and also the wonderful work that you're doing, as we've just mentioned, teaching on diversity and motivation. You've been listening to Conversations with Coach Ian Scott and my special guest today, Clint Cora. Until next time, this is Coach Ian Scott wishing that the rest of your life will be the best of your life.